My braid is flashing bird.
No quarter. I am going to be uncomfortable and all over you from start to finish.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Outside of the Box. And today we have a roundtable of sorts, but this is really one of my series of talking with the leagues and previewing the 2024 season. And of course, I'm going to kick it off here with the board members of G-Scroll, who have been on the podcast before. So I'm excited to have you back to talk about this year.
Yes, 2024 is in fact a year that is happening, they tell me.
It does seem to be happening. Really quickly, though, before we get into 2024, because it's been a little while since I've talked to y'all, but like as far as finishing out the 2023 season, tell me a little bit about, you know, what G-Scroll was able to accomplish in 2023, and how you feel kind of about how that season wrapped up.
Oh, goodness. We started off the season. We started off the season with like events that were like in the 20 to 30 robots range. We started expanding up from there. And our largest event was the New Jersey State Championship, which I believe we had 56 or 57 robots. We got all the matches done in one day at the New Jersey State Fair. Then we took a little bit of time off. We came back strong with the Sussex County Maker Fair, and that was a smaller one because it was the same weekend as NHRL. Then we had the our December event was actually held in the Bridgewater Commons Mall, which is actually a really interesting venue. Almost 50 robots for that one, and we're to the point where we actually need to come up with an official waitlist policy of how we're going to handle and limiting entries maybe for this season, which is kind of a long way to go, I think. I'm sure there are other things that other people want to talk to, but that's kind of the large, we also added a new fully steel arena with double wall polycarbonate. It's much better for viewing, for driving in. Yeah, I think it's all good.
Yeah, I also would say it sort of culminated in the Bridgewater Mall event for 2023. That particular event, we ran both our original Green Arena and the Steel Arena to accommodate all the bots that were happening. And the thing that was fascinating about that was there was an entire room dedicated to just sort of, here's your tables, here's your pit area. And then when the event was going on, people from the mall could actually come into the front of the space and basically observe what was happening and just get caught up with and caught into the sort of flow of the event. So that culmination of being like in front of that many people in a mall environment, that was pretty crazy and a ton of fun. So,
and it went so well within a week after the follow up with the mall, they scheduled it for 2024 already.
Yeah. So they locked us in right away for another event. So we're like, yes.
Hopefully we can get them for a summer event so we can beat the heat. But right now, all of our summer events are actually going to be outdoors under pavilions. But it's actually fairly mild up in northern New Jersey where we're going to have these, so it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, we booked our championships in August, and I'm excited to not have to worry about venues.
Yeah. We basically kind of, we set up all of this material at different locations. So instead of having a home base, we actually are a traveling show essentially. And we have some places that are our big go-tos. And then what is it? From there, we kind of set up and put on the event. So that's, you know, it's sort of a changes every time almost, but we have our go-to places now. So that's been very exciting.
And I don't want to forget to mention one of our biggest supporters, which is Ideal Farm and Garden Center in Lafayette, New Jersey, which has hosted us many times when we're in a bind trying to get a venue. And they're a great place. Fantastic pies. They have friendly goats. They have ducks, and friendly goats, and very spoiled cows.
And we'll be back there this winter.
Yes.
Yeah. The one thing I do want to mention, the Rick and I had the pleasure of presenting the topic of combat robotics as a whole to a bunch of technology and STEM teachers at the NJTEA conference in at the Rutgers Livingston campus. That was a fantastic opportunity. That are we locked in to do that again next year, Rick, already, or no?
Yeah, I think that we're now, like, that was our second time in front of that group for me, and we're set to be part of that event again.
So yeah, that was extremely exciting. We were fielding lots of questions. We actually had to get kicked out, or else we were gonna infringe on the next presenter's time. But everyone had questions. We had a handout that we were able to give to a bunch of teachers. So that was one part of the outreach that we're doing that that I was really personally excited about. Especially that's a field that I'm personally going to college for, and I know others on the board have a background in that as well. So,
yeah, Jackie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie may have graduated with the same degree, just, you know.
Yep.
Yep.
Just significantly earlier.
You both are at were at TCNJ or are at TCNJ, so it's yeah.
It's the only tech ed program in the state, honestly.
No, I think you're right.
Rutgers and NJIT are like partnering for like something similar. I don't know if it's the exact major, but they're doing something similar, but it's only been around for like a year or two tops.
Okay. Well, at least that's going to improve that over having nothing else.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, they're starting to move in that direction for sure. I haven't been part of the NJIT part, but getting Rutgers organized was something that I got the ball rolling for. So it's moving on its own now.
That's scary. Yeah, we don't want Skynet. Watch out.
But yeah, really great all New Jersey wide platform to get the word out about what we're doing. And then educators have found their way to our events to actually ask us questions and learn a bit about how they do. So putting that as a presentation to the tech instructors throughout New Jersey was like super cool. But the fact that they're coming to our events and asking us questions about the bots and how it all works, and, you know, they're seeking us out as well.
Yeah, that's great. In terms of outreach and like looking at 2024, something that I really wanted to talk about was the workshops that you're doing as far as getting people to, you know, learn how to build their own robot and things like that, which I think is so important in getting people involved in the sport, because I think, you know, so many don't think that they can do it, or they don't think that it's something accessible to them. And I think from what I've seen with these workshops, it makes it so much more accessible to the average person. So I wanted you to talk a little bit about that.
I don't think that is officially being run by the league. That would be Liz Wolf, who is actually doing one right a couple weeks before our February Heartbreak event. Of course, you know, we're supporting her with a little bit, but not a lot. So this is actually great. It's almost entirely driven by competitors and members of the league, and actually not the league itself, which is wonderful. Although, you know, that's I wouldn't rule it out happening that we end up running one, but for now it's just Liz.
Yeah. And I would say the wonderful part is the Discord is the area where this conversation came up. And then they worked on it from having this really active Discord community for G-Scroll. So that being connected between fights through the online community to generate materials for courses has been, you know, and create the education loop is really good. I'll also do a shout out to the 4-H program at the 4-H STEM program that Ben Jaritsma has been running, where we actually use the kits and things to get the like the 9 to 12-year-olds up and running on robots. And ever since, I think since the New Jersey State Fair event, the 4-H kids have all been showing up, and there's you know, the little kids just like figuring it out from scratch, running their own team, running their robot, and starting from kits and then sort of expanding out. Like now they're like, oh, well, we want more people to drive. We want more people to do this. They're like, so now they're going to be adding more robots and a variety of things to what they do. And everything that we've been able to do with 4-H STEM is things that are repeatable and work with more communities and more kids and different ages to pull people in. And I mean, Jackie, Madeline, Alex, all of us have been doing a lot of that work.
I believe the kids actually got their first win at the December event, and it was like a pure skill win. They just like their opponent just like right on the side.
Yep.
They got unstuck and then just right back on the side. It was beautiful. And got the KO.
Yep.
I will say I did, Kevin came, me and Kevin worked on the design for the kit that the people in the workshop will actually be building. And that's something I wanted to expand on, because they're going to be building plastic ant weights. And I believe that that is the easiest weight class to just get started in. Plastic ant weights, you don't really have to worry about getting overly destroyed. And on top of that, it keeps everything relatively cheap. Well, you can buy a $30 or less spool of filament, and that'll build you a robot. Whereas if you build like a full combat ant weight or a beetle weight, getting stuff laser cut, water jet, CNC'd, anything like that, that'll significantly bump the price up. And one of the specific design points we wanted to go with, that Kevin wanted to go with, was making sure that it was competitive, but at the same time, leaving lots of room for improvement. That way, through fights, through competitions and events, everyone will end up starting with about the same robot, but then being able to iterate, finding what works, what doesn't, and being able to teach those troubleshooting skills. Kevin did great work on the kit that they designed for that, and they were able to keep it. I think they're just running it for $100 now, that workshop.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just great what they're doing, and very affordable price point, and it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
But I also want to add too is that the design of the robots coming from things like robots like Bottom Feeder and others that have been, you know, competing in the plastic ant weights for over the last year. So like you say, competitive design, it's actually a really good shape. And there was a new bot, Deatherang, that came in and was quite a crazy robot, basically non-traditional locomotion. And one of the things that's neat is that this new bot that you guys put together has one of the better shapes to defend or survive against Deatherang. So I thought that was way cool.
Yeah, Kevin specifically designed, I'm pretty sure he used like the basic wedge shape of Bottom Feeder, and then just basically beefed up everything else to make it viable as like a pure wedge robot, while at the same time leaving weight so that if they wanted to add an active weapon or anything in the future, the files would be easily modifiable to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's a very slick looking robot. Kind of, it's a little bit reminiscent of that Maker's Muse plastic, you know, rest of world ant, which is 150 gram, but it's scaled up a little, and I'm sure it's going to drive a lot better than that one that Angus from Maker's Muse made, but it'll drive a lot better and be a lot more durable, I'm sure. But it's a really nice looking robot. Looks easy to work on, looks easy to modify, and it'll give you all the guts you need to basically build your own robot in the future.
Yeah, that's so terrific. And speaking of, you know, events and things like that, as of the day that this comes out, you have an event on January 13th. So I want to hear whatever you can tell me about it.
Yep. Well, it's rolling forward. Holy smoke. So it's going to be at Ideal Farms again, right? We're just a few days away from that particular event. And what is it? We bumped up the classes. So it's not just going to be the biggest event. It's a focused event. So it's going to be just this competition at Ideal Farms. And it's going to be 10 of the plastics, 10 of the beetles, and 16 of the ants. So that's about 36 or so robots. It'll mainly focused in the big steel arena. Should be live stream. But there's some really competitive bots in here, so I'm really excited because, like I said, Death of Ring is back. We got the Captain, which is Adam's bot, and we got MC Hermy and all of these really good plastics, Bottom Feeder, Block with Cheese, Past Champion. They're all in there, so that's just in the plastics.
I'm pretty sure at least half of the plastic ant robots have won a G-Scroll championship before.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an extremely competitive weight class when it comes down right to it.
Oh, Hypnovision is going to debut, which is something I'm very, very excited for in the full combat ants.
Absolutely.
Dolce De Lucha is coming back, so we best watch out.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got Robo Mouse and Toothache, Tam Robotics, and then Cheesecake. Cheesecake has been great. Holy smokes.
Good. Yeah. Oh boy. Cheesecake is one of those it really has combined you know, all weapon, all durability. Alex has some weapons, like he has very specific weapons based on what your armor is. Are you using an aluminum wedge? Are you using a titanium wedge? Are you using TPU? He has all different cutting geometries, and he seems to get the most out of a relatively lightweight weapon, which is really
not
fun to watch.
Not the aerodynamic stability on it that he has actually studied and looked into and worked with.
And Trash Panda is also going to be there. That's also a very durable robot that's very fun to watch. And I want to, and thanks again to our venue, which is Ideal Farm and Garden Center, 222 State Route 15 in Lafayette, New Jersey. Please come by. It's free to watch. And, they're fantastic baked goods. They make donuts every day, fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And baked goods are made by Ben's mom.
Yep.
For the farm.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. Yeah. People, basically would be able to report on how awesome things are, and then just invite people back out for another event there. And then those things are happening. And then I think the Beatles, if we look at that list, holy smokes, that's another batch of interesting bots.
Oh yeah. We've got Prince, which is kind of a division inspired vertical spinner. El Toro is one that I'm very interested to see competing, because it's a shuffling beater bar, where they have a custom machined beater bar that's gonna be monstrously crazy. That's one of those teams. Those kids actually still are on a first robotics team, and their mentor gives us the evil eye because she says we stole them. we steal her kids so that they don't they don't go to her event. They'd rather be at combat robotics than they do at first, than they would at the first robotics stuff. And to which I say, just make first robotics more exciting. Yeah, to a lot of us, you know, when first says this isn't paddle pots, we always add the asterisks yet.
That is true. You know, for those though that, you know, may be interested in competing, obviously for this event it's going to be too late, but I know that you have another one coming up February 10th. And then there will be another event in March. So for those that may want to come compete at G-Scroll, what do folks need to know about, you know, how to register and all of that?
Well, I think we have events scheduled pretty much every month up until June at least. I think we're going to have a January, February, March. No, there's no April. There's no April event. But there is going to be a May and a June event, I believe.
Mm-hmm. May takes place of last year's April Annihilation and is May for this year. And June will be a two-day event again at the Warren County Balloon Festival.
Yes. So the February event is going to be held in the Marlton area, I believe, in South Jersey. That's going to be run by one of our former competitors, as well as Liz. So Liz and Paul are going to be running that. And then I will be running and organizing the March event. That's going to be held at TCNJ up in Ewing, right next to Trenton, and will be held in conjunction with the Trenton Computer Festival that's held there. So that's going to be really great outreach event. I'm really excited for that event personally. But there's, as far as what you said, all registration is going to be handled on Robot Combat events, and that's as you would expect. So,
best way to get involved in the community is to join the Discord server. If not, keep an eye on Robot Combat events, and the event registration will end up there. It's the best way. The Discord, if you join the Discord, people will be there to give you advice for anything if you don't know what you're doing. If you do know what you're doing, that's awesome. Come and compete. Yeah. If you're totally new, we understand.
Also, one thing to note, I'll just add on to here, which is that we have almost monthly combat, and then it culminates at the New Jersey State Fair again. And that'll be in the beginning of August. So there's plenty of time to get involved in the whole trying to compete as a league and try to get your placement in the league and all that. So we have lots of opportunities for people to do that now. And then when it culminates into that big New Jersey State Fair event, you know, again, live stream goes out there and you're actually at the New Jersey State Fair, which is its own crazy cool thing. And it's kind of neat to be like, you've got monster trucks and all kinds of other crazy events happening, and like people are just flocking over to the robots.
Yeah, they could be watching monster trucks and they come to the robots instead.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's certainly an audience for both. We could just go I don't know if it was Ray Billings' idea to turn monster trucks into BattleBot, like monster truck battle bots.
your remote control. Oh yeah, there we go. We need 250 pounds. Well, let's
250 tons.
Throw that up.
You know, who knows what the future of combat's going to look like, but no, these are great events. You know, is there, besides the events themselves, is there anything else that the league has planned for the year, or is it just kind of a, you know, you might wait until a little bit later to try and plan some things?
Well, one of the things we're really looking to do this year is get a second serious steel arena. we're getting to the point where our ability to run events through the our ability to turn the arena over is actually limiting our event registrations. Right now we can't easily go above about 50 robots. That's about our limit of what we can do in an 8-hour day. So we really do need to start getting that second arena so we can actually start running more events, open up our registration a little bit more. We're also always on the hunt for both venues. And, you know, if you want to host Garden State Combat Robotics, you know, give us a home base. Hey, Austin, we wouldn't mind. But
another,
you
know, note,
it'd be great. We'd love to have a slightly more permanent home, but that's a financial responsibility that the league is not prepared to take on quite yet.
Mm-hmm. On another note, we are also always looking for volunteers. That is the other limiting factor in growing the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just as a way to kind of, it's like if you run two arenas, right, you think, okay, I need three judges and three judges. But you actually want to get your judges a break. You want everybody to have a good time. So, you know, you want to recruit like 9 people who are qualified to judge, for instance. And then people can swap out and do a lot of, you know, different elements, but keep it fresh and exciting. And that's what one of our big goals is to be able to do. And then arena management. I think Jackie has worked on a lot of streaming software. I think we've got a lot of progress going for how we tell the story about what's happening in the arena.
And Kim has been doing a lot of work there too.
There we go.
Kim and Neil have also done a lot.
Yeah. And the 9 volunteers that Rick mentioned, is that's just judging. That's not counting referees for the arena. That's not counting people making sure the live stream behaves. That's not counting data entry for the brackets. So yeah, just any volunteers would be super fantastic.
And to be clear, you do not need to know anything about robotics to get started. A lot of the roles don't require robotics specific knowledge. And for the ones that do, we will happily teach you. We like telling people about robots.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important thing. We will teach you how to do pretty much every job there if you're interested in learning it.
Well, it's been a way for people to get in and understand what's happening mm-hmm. in the thing. Because like one is like if you're a competitor, you kind of like think of the from that point of view. But when you're pulling the whole event together and you're understanding how all the robots and you're watching all the fights, it gives you a lot more, just simply a lot more direct view on what's going on and how it's managed and what's good ways to be prepared. So you're like, it's kind of meta learning. You're learning all the stuff that goes around making the event happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot into it that goes into it, you know, that's important to know. I mean, all of these rules are critical. And I think people just like don't understand it. Anyone can learn. If I can learn, trust me, anyone can learn. So I think it's great. I think that, you know, with the expansion and getting more people interested, that's just going to help the sport overall. And I mean, honestly, like, I love what y'all are doing. And I'm excited to see G-Scroll continue to, you know, expand.
We're hoping.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, their numbers are all going in the right way, and the excitement levels are also doing the same thing. And mm-hmm. yeah, so if we can just accommodate the additional demand and the interest, I think that's just like a direct path to being able to, like, you know, what is it, level up essentially.
Yeah. I think we've been consistently having like 3 to 5 robots per weight class on the wait list for the past couple events.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And yeah. If you look where we started 2023 with was an average of 25 robots to an event. And we ended the year last year with 2 events over 50 robots. We have doubled the size of competitors in just about a year.
Yeah.
So if we had the capacity, we could easily start at, you know, 16, 16, 16 for the three classes. And that would put us what, at what, 48 or some.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that could be easy, the minimum number, if we're able to accommodate two arenas and things. And then from there, hitting like a 60 or something, maybe. I don't know. I think somewhere our upper bound will grow quite a bit if we can get that second.
Arenas. With two arenas and volunteers, we can go up quite a bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we theoretically do 68.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think there's plenty of hope that we'll get to that. I think that this year we'll sort of see by the repetitive, you know, having the more matches, it'll matter. Like, what is it? The fact that there's so many more fights that compromise the wins, that, you know, show the, what is it? The when we have like the league winners of the season, there will be a lot of competition and a lot of bots slogging their way through.
Absolutely. Well, I am excited to see how the 2024 season plays out for G-Scroll. And I just want to, you know, thank all of you, Madeline, Adam, Rick, Alex, and Jackie for joining me. So for everyone who's watching, please keep doing so. Please like, subscribe, you know, all that good stuff. Support Combat Robotics, get involved locally. However you can, and we'll see you next time on the show.
Great. Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.